Amen. Today, again, as they said, it's Family Sunday. I'll try not to be too long. I only lie on Sunday mornings when I say that. Amen. Hey, all right. Let's get this open here. Get you going today. Last week, I talked about running the race. Y'all remember last week in the videos, running the race. And, oh, man, I used to love that. It would be death today, okay? It'd just be horrible. I mean, if I had to run, oh, gosh. And so, but, you know, there's one thing to running the race. There's another thing to winning the race. Now, in the natural here, when you get on a track, the person that wins gets the glory. Just the way it is. Everybody else is just the second place, is just first loser. Okay, that's only first in that whole thing. Okay, and so it's different. Paul talks about everybody runs the race, but run to win. And I want to talk to you from the position of your Christian walk. You need to run with the intention of winning. It's not bad. You know, when I ran a race, it wasn't like I didn't have a socialist mentality. Oh, I hope everybody wins with me. No, I hope I beat you. Come on, somebody. I hope I win and you lose. There's only one winner. Now, we know in Christ, everybody wins if you put your faith in him, okay? So don't get those things mixed up, because we're not of the mentality that you're the only one going. There's only one in the building going, okay? Everybody can go, but you got to win the race. And so it's always amazed me, though, that people, they want to win the race, but they don't want to do what's necessary to win the race. They want to be in the race to say that I'm in the race. I know a lot of people that come to church, sit in the parking lot, literally have done this and said, I went to church. Well, technically you did. But in reality, you didn't. But it eased the consciousness that they went to church, because I believe we've lessened our Christian walk to the idea of just going to church. Well, that stinks. That's like running a race. I'm going to enter the race and I'm just going to halfway do it. But I was in the race. Oh, I ran the race. Oh, well, maybe. So I remember years ago, I was in high school. And at the end of the year, Woody, there was this race called the Meet of Champions. It was after everything had been ran, all the state championships. This was a Meet of Champions. Now, this is the best of the best. And I was on this team where, you know, last week we showed that the 4x100 relay. And we were all, man, like super good. And we had this young guy. He was in 10th grade and he was fast. I mean, he was fast as a spotted ape. You hear me? I mean, the man can move. But he thought he could just go through this thing, and the other three people on the team, including myself, we were seniors. This is our last race ever. And we showed up down in Madison, Mississippi. We're going to do our thing. Except there was a little problem. This guy decided that since he was so good, he didn't have to worry about not getting drunk on Friday night. And he showed up and was pathetic. Do you hear me? He was a great runner. He could win the race. Except he didn't think he needed to put in the effort that everyone else, because he was so good. Problem is, the rest of us ran our hearts out because it was our last race, and we did really well until he, the last anchor, got the baton. And we came in eighth place. And we were favored to be number one. Oh, just one little night, just one little thing, just jacked up three other people's lives. Just one little thing. It don't hurt anybody. It's just me. Yeah, I keep saying that. It's only going to affect me. I watched Andy Griffin's show. How many of you ever watched Andy Griffin? Okay, if you haven't watched Andy Griffin, because you don't have a TV, okay? It's just the way it is. You just don't have a TV. Andy Griffith's show. And if you remember, one time they were going to have a community in Mayberry was having this race, and Opie was going to enter the race. Y'all remember the story? And he just knew he was going to win. And he had dreams of him winning and running across and holding the blue ribbon and everybody cheering for Opie. Well, his dad knew that Opie was slow.
He had little short legs. He wasn't going to win. If you remember, Andy was like, oh, man, you know, son, are you sure? Oh, yeah, yeah. Are you sure you want to? Yeah, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. And Barney gets in Opie's ear and tells him, you're going to win. I know you are. You're going to win. Pumped his head full of something that wasn't going to happen. And Opie doesn't train, really. He knew he was going to win. And race day comes and the gun goes off. The guys take off. And all of these memories are all this fantasy about him winning and running out, running everybody else. Reality jumps in and he loses big time. He wasn't ready to win the race. He wanted to be in the race. He thought he could here, but he hadn't trained to win the race. And I think so many times us as Christians, we're in the Christian race, but we're not training to win. We're just in the race. There's one thing to sign up for the race, and there's another thing to try to win the race. I want to try to win the race. I'm not in for a little shack on the backside of hell's half acre when I get to heaven. He said there's a mansion. I'm going to run like I'm running to the mansion. Come on, somebody. And so that brings us to the start of my message. I was reading, doing some research, and there was this study that I came across. It's called the Finnish, F-I-N-N-I-S-H, the Finnish study. And it's cited in Owens Anderson's Running Research Magazine. Believe it or not, there's a magazine and there's stuff devoted for people who like to run. Hallelujah. And there's some scientists that collect data on all the stuff that you runners like to do, Stacy. She's in the back. Yeah, she likes to run. Mike, you still running? Amen. Glory to God. You have been delivered in Jesus' name. No, I'm kidding. I got delivered. Amen. And so this magazine, it identifies some things. And this is what it goes on to say. This article says that this news, Anderson's Running Research News, identified two major energy sources for running the 400-meter race. It says, Anderson states, as you plan your workouts, remember that muscles have two key ways to obtain energy during a 400-meter race. That's a quarter of a mile. If I go over a few steps, I'm riding something. Come on, somebody. My wife told me that we need to get into cycling. I said, praise God, I've been wanting a motorcycle. She said, you can't have a motorcycle. I said, well, Dale's got one of these electric bike things. That suits me fine too. You pedal, I'll ride. Amen? And so that didn't work out either. So this study goes on to say that creatine phosphate itself generates energy, something in your body. It creates energy. Hallelujah. I think mine left me a while back, a few years ago, okay? I know it's not with me at like 6 o'clock in the evening. That's a great time to nap. Before bedtime, it's say 8:39. Come on, somebody. The other thing that creates this energy is glucose breaks down to form lactic acid. I'm thinking something about milk. I don't know, but that's not what it's talking about. Lactose and glucose. And since the study also showed that creatine phosphate is depleted by almost 50% after the first 100 meters. So your body produces this insane amount of creatine phosphate, but it's gone in the first fourth of the race. It's almost depleted. You got to run the rest of the race on empty. Boy, I tell you what, I see a lot of Christians today that jump out of the gate and boy, they're full of the Holy Ghost, they're full of excitement. And after about 100 meters in this thing, 100 days, and then they run the rest of their Christian walk on depletion, going through the motions, if you will. Then there's this glucose thing. It says that creatine phosphate levels do not return to normal levels for a full 8 minutes following the race. You can't get it back in the race is what I'm saying. You can't retain it while you're running. It says, therefore, it would make sense for the 400 runners to do a repeat of these 100-yard dashes over and over and over to build up this creatine phosphate in their body. Which brings me to this. If a runner physically has to do things repetitively to build up their stamina and to build up their body to produce what's necessary to run the race, not only to run it, but to win it, should we not be following this type of example in a Christian walk? Should we not be putting things into our bodies, into this, the spiritual body, that would help us to create the necessary energies, effort, and lifestyle to win the race? Sure. Here's the problem. We want to be in the race, but we don't want to do those things necessary to win the race. We just want to be in the race. We've got the mentality that they have today. If I'm in the race, I get a trophy. I get a participation trophy. Yeah, you still a loser. All the little kids get a trophy for what? I was so aggravated back in the spring. Just sent me through the roof. I mean, it's kind of this worked on my nerves. So our little Lexi, she's a pretty good soccer player. In fact, she's real good, not just because she's mine, she really is. And she had scored 6 goals on her team. The coach at halftime said, when she had 5, you can't score anymore. We got to give other kids an opportunity. Well, that just made me mad. I said, well, I'm sorry that she gets daddy to practice with her and she wears out our hallway down our house, kicking balls down that thing. When it's rainy outside, she wears out the walls. She practices and she runs and she does all the things. It's not her fault that your little Susie's not any good and can't score. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to you. I'm going somewhere. You know, but at the end of the year, everybody got a little necklace, a little trophy. All teams, even those teams that didn't win anything, got a trophy. Well, that stinks. Well, Pastor, you got to be more sensitive. I am sensitive because I got to deal with your child. I got to deal with that person when they grow up. They think they're entitled to everything. Well, they're not entitled. You didn't win anything. You didn't do anything. What are you entitled to? What did you do to get the entitlement? Nothing. And so I think in our Christian walk, we're the same way. We come to church and we give a little money and we do a little bit and we say, God, where are you at? I'm entitled. To what? What'd you do? Nothing. Nowhere in Scripture are you entitled to anything without you first doing something, even salvation. You must first ask for this free gift called salvation before you can get it. There's nothing in Scripture that says you just get because and you do nothing. Ooh, it quiet up in this church today. I noticed that when we was worshiping, y'all were just kind of hunkered down. So I want to talk to you about this thing called sin. Sin is that thing that creeps into your body and keeps you from wanting to win the race. Sin is that thing that keeps into your Christian walk. It creeps in and keeps you from wanting to do the things necessary to win the race. Because sin is fun. Come on. You know why sin's fun? Sin appeals to the senses. And we like to have all of our senses feel good. We want to see and look good. We want to smell something good. We want to touch something good. We want to feel something good. Just what we want to taste something good. Come on, somebody. Thought I was going to leave it out, didn't you? But those things keep us from really experiencing what God has for us. Sin. Watch this. Sin is violence. And it is lovelessness toward other people and ultimately rebellion against God. That's what sin is. All given enough time, you will not love people like you're supposed to. Given enough time, you will start rebelling against God. I don't care what you say, who you are. I don't care what theology you believe in. When you sin, there's a separation that takes place between you and God. I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. So why do I sin? Because I'm drawn away. That's why I sin. I sin because I'm drawn away from God's word. I'm drawn away from worship. I'm drawn away from prayer. I'm drawn away from listening to the things and putting in the things that are necessary to help me grow a Christian life. That's why I sin, because I'm drawn away. Am I making sense this morning? Are you tracking with me? Well, what makes me sin? My own desires. When your own desires take over, it's because you have let sin come in and you're drawn away. Because when you're drawn away, if you're with God, you're drawn from God. So if I'm with God and I'm drawn away, I'm not with God. So I'm drawn to things of the flesh. And the flesh makes you sin. Period. James chapter 1 verse 14 says this, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed.
Feels good.
Looks good. Woo! Tastes good. Drawn away. See, if you got your head on right and if you got the right stuff in you, when you recognize that you're being drawn away, you say, oh, I can't go down that road. The Bible says in Galatians, I believe it's 5:22, abstain from the very appearance of evil. Don't even look down the road that evil's housed on. If you know it's sinful and if it's a draw to you, don't even look down the road. Abstain from the very appearance of it. If it looks like it and smells like it, it probably is. So you sin when you're drawn away. What makes you sin is your desires. But this James 1:14 says that when I'm drawn away, I'm tempted by my own enticed. I'm enticed. Verse 15 says, then when desire has conceived, when it's come to fruition, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death, a spiritual death. When you allow sin to grow in your life, to come to fruition, it says, the Scripture says, it's death. Spiritually speaking, you die. Just like the runner, if he can't come to my house, I don't have healthy food. Unless Twinkies and Little Debbies are healthy, this guy's going to get drawn away. You heat up a honey bun at 6 o'clock in the morning for 7 seconds in my microwave, and it tastes so much better than right out of the package. I can entice you with a honey glazed honey bun. It'll fill your belly. It smells good, and it tastes good, and you'll want another one. Sin does the same thing to us spiritually. We get drawn away. And just like that runner, if he comes to my house and eats those, he's not going to win. He's going to put on a few pounds. I got to be careful. I saw Lexi last night standing at the bottom of the cabinet. The cabinet door's open. She's just looking. Because it's full of goodies to a non-athlete. If you're an athlete, that's like junk. Okay, well, that's why I got my house. Amen. She's just there. She's being enticed. So how does sin affect you and God? How does this sin thing affect you and your relationship and you winning the race? How does it do that? Well, let me show you. And Isaiah 59:1 says this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. So it's not a thing about him not being able to do his part. Nor is ear heavy that he cannot hear. Oh, he can hear you. So are you getting the picture that it's not on God's part? But your, not his, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Scripture says it separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. Sin separates and pushes apart you and God. That's what sin does. Just like not eating the right stuff separates the athlete from being a runner and a winner. Just a fine line. Yeah, you got to have food to survive, to make your body grow and to have nourishment. You got to have food, but you got to have the right kind of food. It's kind of like sunlight. You got to have a certain amount of sunlight, but too much of it, you burn up. You got to have a certain amount of water, but too much of it, you'll drown. You got to have this balance to win this thing called the Christian race. You got to find out, where are you? What are you ingesting? What's going in? Because if you're not careful, sin will separate you from God. And when you get separated from God, you don't win. You don't win. You're not a winner in the end when you're separated from God. It's called sin. He says it'll separate you. Well, I go to heaven when I die if I willfully practice sinful acts. Hebrews 10:26 says this. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Preacher, what are you saying? What I am saying is simply this. If you practice sin, you will not enter into heaven. Period. Well, does that mean if I got saved when I was 7 and I hadn't been in church in 19 years, you didn't get saved? It's not the way it works. Let's quit giving everybody a trophy because you come and said a little prayer. It doesn't work that way. Get right with God. And when you get right with God, the Bible teaches there's going to be some fruit that's going to come out of my righteousness in him. It's going to be good stuff. I won't be known as the same sinner. I won't be known as this or that or the other. I'm going to be known as a Christian. I saw a little deal, Rusty, on Facebook last night, and it was this guy, and he had a Bible out or whatever. I don't know really what he was doing, but he was a rancher kind of guy, you know, and he was walking around, and he said, if somebody followed you around for 24 hours, would they want to be a Christian like you? Boy, I had a check in my spirit right there. If they followed you around for 24 hours... Oh, not just your little conversation where you're talking about Jesus for a minute and then they're gone and you're cussing up a storm, acting like a heathen. Not loving your neighbor or your wife or your kids or whatever. If they followed you for 24 hours, would they want to be like you? Would they want to become a Christian? Well, that's a challenge. I'm preaching better than you're amening. Galatians 5:19 says this, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are... Now, we know that sin appeases the flesh. Watch. They're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, self-ambitious, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, and just as I told you in the past time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not getting a trophy if you practice those. I'm not talking about a slip up and a mistake. I'm talking about you practice those. You willfully practice those. You ain't going to heaven. What it says. Well, Pastor, I disagree. Okay, that's fine. I hope you're right. But if you're wrong, when we get there, you're gone. I'm there. That's not something you want to play with. Swapping a dollar or two around with a friend, making you may not get it back, is one thing. But my grandpa used to say this, a dollar between me and you is friendship, $5 is a business transaction. See, this is a business transaction, if you will. God's already done his part. He says, here's what I have for you. I have eternal life for you. But you can't practice these things and go to heaven. Woo! Well, preacher. I think I will, and I'm in here already. I'm in trouble probably, but that's all right. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know? Do you not know that righteousness that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you not know that? You know what that tells me? That's elementary. That ought to be the basics. Somebody comes to work for me, I say, do you not know that? Oh, you didn't know you're supposed to come with shoes? Come on, that's really what he said. Do you not know this? This is the basics of all basics. Unrighteousness, you don't get there. Do you not know that? We have to teach our children to do certain things. So then they say, well, I know that. Well, how do you know that? Because you taught me. Somebody taught me. I know that. Should you read your Bible? Yeah. Shouldn't we? Yeah. You ought to say, well, yeah. Do you read your Bible? Well, no. Yeah. You see where I'm going with it, right? We can have fun in church. It's okay. I'm trying to ease you up a little bit. Amen. First Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. In other words, don't think you're going to get a prize. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. You can't do these things. This is sin. And think, I'm going to get a prize. I get a trophy anyway. This is a trophy for you. You run the race to win. I'm not in competition with Brad on my eternal position. Just me. I'm in competition with my flesh, my sin, that wants to draw me away and keep me tempted so that I willfully sin, and then that separates me from God. Each person will give an account for his own sins. Praise God. I got enough of my own. I don't need yours. Amen? Amen. Whew. Matter of fact, if y'all think I got a few I could give you, I might need a little help myself. Romans 14:11 says this, for it is written. I mean, that's when it's written, it's there. You know, you don't get to unwrite it. Just because you don't read it, don't mean it ain't there. You know, because you don't read the Bible, you understand, because just because you didn't read it doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to you, and he won't apply that to you. That's the way this thing works. It still applies to you. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that each of us shall give an account to himself, to God, of himself to God. Me all by my lonesome. Just like I talked about last week. When you got four people on the team, I don't have but a fourth of the responsibility. I just got to take care of my 100 meters. That's all I got to do. I got to do it, and I got to do it well. I just got to win that portion of the race. And if I do my part, I do it well, and I pass off that, but guess what? Somebody else got to run with it. And the next person, somebody else got to run with it. It's up to them. If I do my best, hey, I'm good. But in this race, it's all on me. When you run the 400 meters by yourself, it's all on you. The glory or the shame, it's all on you. The trophy, it's all up to you. Oh, yeah, there's got to be a certain element. I mean, you know, you got to be, you know, you kind of be fast. It does help. But there's this Christian thing that says, it's up to you. Matthew 12:36 says this, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Boy, there's going to be a list on my side over here. I got this big list of just idleness. Do you talk about idleness? Just idle words don't mean nothing. You know, it's kind of like those conversations, finally, where you talk to somebody for 3 minutes and your IQ drops a couple of points. It's like, man, please, please be quiet. I feel myself getting dumb. They're talking about nothing. You know those people, don't you? You got them in your life. Amen. That might be idleness right there. But there's hope. Lee, will you come to the piano? Honey. There's hope. It's not doom and gloom with God. Here's reality. Here's hope. Here's what it can be. Here's what it could be if you do the right stuff. Isaiah 55:7 says this, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's what I like to hear, because I'm going to need a pardon, because I got so much junk in my trunk. I'm taking so much stuff that I got to give an account for. But if I run the race to win, there is a pardon. It's called a trophy. It's called, your name is in the book of life forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. How many evers you want to put on that? There's hope in Christ. Just because you line up on this Christian race, you think it's impossible. I've come out of this lifestyle and it's dragging me back. Yep, yep, yep. What does it say? It says to forsake your way, that the unrighteous man, his thoughts, forsake the thoughts. Get away from it. Don't go down there. Don't hang out with those people anymore. One of the hardest challenges of people who come out of a certain lifestyle, whatever it might be, a sinful lifestyle, one of the things I usually tell them is, you got to change your friends. I don't want to. They're my friends. No, they're not your friends. They want you to lose. They're trying to beat you. They want you to lose at life. They want you to be like them. They're losers. They're just losers. I don't hang around with losers, because they want me to lose. They want to change. They want me to come to them. That's not the way this thing works. I want to go to him. So I want to go to him. I got to separate myself from them. Come on, somebody. Anybody had to erase some, block some numbers? Well, they've been my best friend since 12. Oh, yeah, that's who you do dope with. That's who you hoard around with. Come on, somebody. That's who you lie with. Come on, somebody. We want to think, well, we can keep doing those. No, you can't. Oh, you can. Technically, you can. But you don't win. You do not win pardon. Romans 10:9 says this. Now watch this now. This is your part. That if you or me confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised me or him, you, from the dead, you will be saved. Well, praise the Lord. You mean I can have done all these things and acquired all of these fleshly accolades and got them hanging up on my wall of all the things I have done wrong, and yet if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that I can be saved, I can get a pardon? Absolutely. That's exactly what that means. You get a trophy. Well, praise the Lord. That's the trophy we're after, right? Verse 10 says this, for with the heart, the core of you, one believes unto righteousness. If I believe that God really, really did did die for my sins, if I believe that there's more than this, there's more than this life, if I believe that belief takes me to a place that I cannot obtain on my own, and it is called righteousness. I can't get there without the confession and the believing in my heart. But if I do my part, if the runner does his part and does it better than anybody else, he wins. If you do your part, the best you can do, guess what? You win. You get a pardon. He says that if he believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. What is that doing? What does that really do? You know, it's sometimes to think you can get over something. It's to think, well, I really don't have a problem. But when you start listing your stuff, you think, oh, Lord, that is me. That is me. Something about it coming out of your mouth brings it to reality. It's more than just a thought. It's more than just some idea. It is, oh, my Lord, I spoke that. Well, I'll give you something else to do. Write it down on a piece of paper. Write it on a piece of paper, and it'll be like, that's me? That's me? Uh-huh. I do that. I eat how many Little Debbies a day? I drink how many zero sugar Cokes? Because that's good for you, right? Yeah, because there's no sugar. It just kills your brain with other stuff in it. Clara, you're a pharmacist. I'm going to kind of rain on your parade just a little bit. Not on you, but on your pharmaceutical field. I listened to a little podcast yesterday. It said that every known medicine, you can verify this because I'm not an expert, but every known medicine has at least one side effect. Is that true? Every medicine you take to fix this has had some other kind of adverse side effect. A lot of them have as many as 7 to 9 is what this podcast said. 7 to 9. Well, I just must be dead. Because it's going to prolong it. It's just going to be more painful. 7 to 9. Every medication. Wow. That's a lot. On what? You trying to be fixed. You trying to be well. I know one physician that won't prescribe any drugs, that won't say, I need to see you a little bit one more time so we can get you right. No, one visit with the great physician, one encounter with the doctor can set you free from your sin, your bondage. It'll separate you from sin, and you'll draw close to God. With one visit, no pills, no side effects. I mean, I'm talking about just pure unadulterated healing. Healing in our bodies, healing in our minds, healing from our desires, from our fleshly desires. He can heal you of that. He can set you free with one visit. I've never been to one doctor that ever said, well, I don't need to ever see you again. No, they know I got good insurance. They pay them for a boat. Come on, somebody. It is time that we as a church, let me just back up. It is time you as a Christian say, you know what? I'm going to start running my race to win it. I don't want to be first loser. I don't want to be third loser. I don't want to say, well, you did good. I want to win. I want to win with my Lord. I want to win with my family. I want to win with my wife. I want to win with my church family. I want to win with my grandkids. I want to win. I want to win with money. I want to win with my fleshly desires. I want to win in all of those areas. Call me selfish, but I want to win. You should too. Win in all those areas. telling you, you'll win the race. You'll win the race. Will you stand with me across this building? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have preached what I believe you have laid upon my heart for this day, this moment, this time. And I ask you, Lord, to touch hearts. Lord, in our staff prayer this morning, one of our prayers was, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you. Just a little closer walk to thee, O Lord. Lord, I pray that today that the word has went forth, your Holy Spirit has been stirring the hearts, been massaging the heart of people. Lord, we've been challenged today to know with sin in our heart, a willful intention of sin separates me from the one physician that can heal me. It separates me from winning the race. If you're in this building today and you say, Pastor, I'm in the race, but I need to win the race. I'm not talking about you not really being saved. If you're not saved, you need to be here now. But I'm talking about running this race, and you're not in it to win it. You're just in the race. Pastor, I need prayer. I need you to pray for me, Pastor. Well, know that you already prayed for, but I'll pray with you personally right here. If you want to come down, I want to pray with you. We're going to get some men and women to gather around you, and we're going to pray that you win the race. Not that you're just in the race, but that you win the race. If that's you, I want you to come. I want you to make your way down here right now. You can do it. You can put away the fleshly desires. You can do that, but it's only going to come through the help of the Holy Spirit. I need some men right here. Is that you? Will you come? Are there others in this building? Will you come? Well, it's not an acknowledgement of shame and guilt. It's this thing, I want to win the race. There's no condemnation here. It's, I want to win the race. I just been in this thing making laps. But I want to win. Is that you? Is that you with every head bowed and every eye closed? These are praying here in the altar. Is that you? Is that you? Will you just stick up your hand if that's you? You choose not to come down the front. Is that you? Will you just lift up your hand? Is that you? I need some ladies right here. I need some ladies over here. A couple of prayer ladies right here. Are there others? The Holy Spirit's working in this house. Just as we had prayed before church, just as we'd been praying this week, that the Holy Spirit would move upon the hearts of people. It's one thing to have an anointed preacher, but it's another thing to have a congregation that's got anointed ears to hear and receive. Is that you? Quit running the race for participation. Run the race to win. If you will, just stick your hands this way as we pray for these up here. Will you just help us pray for them? Father, we thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you and we worship you, Lord. God, you know the heart of every man, woman, and child in this building. And I pray, Father, today that there be a revelation of ourselves. Lord, as I often pray, reveal me to me. Lord, that I may see where my shortcomings are, that I may understand where I'm at with you, that I may make appropriate actions and reactions, Lord, to win the race. Lord, I thank you for dealing with hearts in this house today. Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost that's moving in this house. Lord, it's speaking to our hearts right now. Lord, you know the very inner workings of our heart, of our soul. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. that we experience the great physician today to heal the hurt, heal the pain, oh, with your precious blood. With our confession and our belief, Lord, we win. We get a pardon and we get a trophy. We win, Lord. We get that name written in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor. I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, hear today. Lord, your word says it. Your word says it, Lord. Psalms 34, 6 says that I cried to you and you heard me and you answered me. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, answer her heart cry today, God. Answer her heart cry. Father, I thank you. No longer running the race to participate. Running the race to win. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. I pray you've been touched by the word of God today. Not by the preaching, but by the word. Because if you come to hear a preacher, you was at the wrong place. There's a lot better, a lot of other places. Yes, ma'am. But the word of God is true no matter who preaches it. Amen. I love you. I'm going to bless you. But before that, we're going to bless people. Today is the last Sunday of the month. We always take up an offering. If you haven't done that, if you haven't gotten on board with our orphanage offering, would you consider doing that? Every month we send funds to an orphanage in Uganda and we feed 40 plus kids on $1,400. I looked last month on the receipts I require them to send me to make sure that where our money goes is going to where it needs to go. And on that there was a cord of firewood. I know what they do with firewood. They cook with it outside. Buy big bags of maize and flour and make up just a soup kind of something other. These kids stand with unwashed bowls, unwashed clothing, and unwashed hands to eat and are happy to get it. They're orphans, true orphans. Never would have dreamed as a pastor that from here we could send money halfway around the world and feed some kids. Now here's what I know. Rusty, here's what I know. I'm going to get to heaven one day. And I hope you're with me. That's where you say, yeah, amen, I'm going to be with you, preacher. I'm going to be in front of you. And the Lord's going to say, you know what? I saw every time you sacrificially gave. And they sent that money, just like they said they was going to, 100% of it, and fed these kids. Oh, and by the way, they're right over here. And they had offsprings. And now look at all these kids, because you fed them. They grew up in a gospel, in a Christian atmosphere, because the preacher we send the money to goes and preaches the gospel. And they got saved. And look at all these people from Africa. Oh, we got an outreach. Come on, somebody. I want you to consider giving it. I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I don't do personally. It's a goal of ours to give a minimum of $100 a month. I'm not asking you to do that. It's a goal. It's a goal. Why don't you do that, preacher? I'm in this race to win. It's not about the money. It's all about the money. I want you to consider that. Consider giving.
We always come up a little short, but because your other giving, we always give $1,400. Even when we get $700 in, we give $1,400. If we get $1,700 in, we give $1,700. We don't keep the money. God doesn't call, has never called this church to be a bank. Come on, somebody. We're not a bank. That it's right over here. It's right across the street. You want to borrow money? There's the banks. God called us to be good stewards of the money. You give it, we tell you what is going for you, and we give it to there. Every time. 15 years, going on 15 years, when we say we're going to do something here, we do it. You know why? That's why God blesses this house. We got money in the bank, don't get me wrong. But we use it for kingdom business. It's not in a CD. Shame on every church that's got CDs. Shame on them. Shame on them's got a savings account. Shame on them. You don't need a savings account. You need a ministry account. Come on, somebody. You need to be spending money on things. Don't tell me there's somebody in your community that doesn't need something, that doesn't need food, or doesn't need a gospel tract put in their hand. Come on, somebody. So I want you to think about giving. I don't talk about money here, but I want you to consider giving. I promise you, 100% of what you give for an orphanage goes to orphanage. Every time. Just the way we do business. Because we don't lie. Let me bless you. Have you enjoyed the presence of the Lord today? Father, we thank you. We ask, Lord, your face would shine upon us. That we would find favor with God and with man. That prosperity, job promotions, increases and raises would come our way. And Lord, that sweet sleep, or that peace would blanket our rooftops today, and sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hey, can we do one thing? This is, before you leave, I want to do one thing. I got a great, great friend. Can you come out here and hold your hand? I got a great friend in Texas. It's Stacy's dad, Wes Tenney. He's having serious back issues. And so we want to pray for him. Can we do that? And you let him know that LVA Church is praying for him. Will you do that? So will you stretch your hands this way? And we're going to pray his back. Wes Tenney's his name. We're going to pray for his back. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that Brother Wes is in Texas. But Lord, you know, you created Texas just like you created Arkansas. And it's not too far, Lord, for you to reach over in Texas and heal his back. Lord, I don't know everything that's going on, but I pray that the tendons and the ligaments and the vertebrae, they begin to line up and the nerves fall in the channel which you created for them, that there's no pain. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for divine healing today for my brother Wes Tenney, Lord. Father, I'm believing, expecting, Lord, a text, a phone call that say, God's healed me. Lord, I'm just believing it because that's what we're supposed to do. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we have a point of contact here in his daughter. And Lord, I pray that you would heal him in Texas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, thank you for allowing me to do that. You're dismissed to go. God love you. Remember, no church Wednesday night. See you next Sunday.